This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. A federal grand jury meets this week to examine the relationship between the state's Department of Environment and Natural Resource, DENR, and Duke Energy. The investigation comes as the coal ash cleanup on the Dan River continues. And questions still linger about whether the state agency turned a blind eye towards reports of leaking toxins. WUNC's Jeff Tabiri has been following this story, and he joins us now. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Phoebe.
So what is the latest?
Well, as you mentioned, this federal grand jury is now hearing testimony. It's expected to go through Thursday of this week and will continue as federal prosecutors are putting under oath 20 current and former employees of DENR. There also were subpoenas issued to the North Carolina Utilities Commission and Duke Energy. And what they're looking for is a suspected felony. They're trying to determine if any improper benefits or items of value changed hands. They've asked, as part of the subpoenas, for wire transfers, receipts, any items of value that might have passed between the two.
And who is actually receiving these subpoenas? You mentioned companies, but who in these companies?
Well, we know that the subpoenas received by DENR, there are 20 folks, the majority of whom are still working for DENR, who received subpoenas. And, you know, these are people that are going to testify, all of them, theoretically, about their relationship with the company and, you know, what that relationship entailed. This really stems from critics calling the spill at the Eden Power Plant into the Dan River 6.5 weeks ago now preventable. And, you know, the critics say that this was largely preventable and that DENR is not properly policing Duke Energy, and that in time they have, or over the years, they really have not done a good job of making sure that Duke is adhering to state water regulations, groundwater, stormwater, wastewater regulations, and also the Clean Water Act. And, you know, this comes from a place where the allegations are that DENR is fundamentally not doing its job, and is the phrase that has been used a lot is cozy or too cozy with the utility company.
Now, no one in the McCrory administration has been subpoenaed. I say that only because of the relationship between the governor and Duke Energy, which is being looked at very closely.
Right. Totally fair question. The governor worked for Duke for 29 years, and for years he has refused to share how much he made from Duke Energy on an annual basis. He has not disclosed how much money he has in stock holdings from Duke Energy. But we do know the governor's office has said that no one in McCrory's office has received a subpoena, so they are not part of this scope, this federal criminal investigation at this point.
And how has Duke Energy responded to this grand jury investigation?
You know, after the spill happened, they seemed to be, the perception was that they were a little bit more out in front of things, if you will, and they said they were going to pay for the cleanup, and it seemed to be a fairly proactive, aggressive public front. Since the subpoenas have been issued, Duke did acknowledge that it received two subpoenas, did not go into detail about that, and they really haven't said much about the subpoenas. They've said they obviously will cooperate with the U.S. attorney, the federal prosecutors, and they've also said repeatedly on a different front that they will cooperate with DENR as the state agency moves forward with whatever requirements or things that it might issue.
We've been talking about the Eden spill, but what is going on with Chatham County?
There was a story that ran in the New York Times over the weekend, and there were pictures obtained by the Riverkeeper Alliance, and what it shows is a pipe or a hose and surface water going from a coal ash pond, the top of a coal ash pond, into a tributary of the Cape Fear River. And the coal ash ponds, there are 33 of them at 14 different locations throughout the state. In theory, how they operate, and many of them are 60, 70 years old. Some of them are newer, but all of them, to the best of my knowledge, are unlined. What happens is coal, once it's burned to create energy, coal ash is the byproduct. It goes into these unlined lagoons or pits or ponds, and in time, the coal ash settles at the bottom. So there's water at the top. The water is there so that it's not just coal ash and that it doesn't blow away and go into fields and trees. And, you know, it keeps it to an extent, in theory, hopefully, keeps it centralized. Anyway, the pictures that were in the New York Times in this article that came from the Riverkeeper Alliance were hoses, pipes that were removing surface water into this tributary. And, you know, pretty quickly thereafter, the headlines and the environmentalists were quick to jump on this and say, you know, Duke is illegally dumping again. Duke is pouring toxic water into the Cape Fear tributary. And in all fairness, we don't know if that's the case. Duke has permits at a number of its sites to discharge wastewater. So this may all be legal as the state sees it. Now, are there larger questions in play here as to whether or not this should be legal? Well, sure. But in this instance, this might in fact be legal. So obviously the conversation turns to Diener, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and say, OK, was this legal? Did Duke have a permit? Were they adhering to that permit? And Diener's response for the last 8 days has been, we're investigating it. We're investigating how much water came out. We're investigating if they were in violation of the permit. Now, why that takes 8 days is not totally clear to me, and I've asked Diener that. They say it's an undertaking, and they're looking at the permit process, and they're actually looking at their own correspondence, because Duke says that it informed Diener last August that this would be taking place, this discharge of water, which Duke, by the way, says is common. It's a common practice. It happens to control – they do it to control the level of water in coal ash ponds. They also do it as part of maintenance. So Diener has been working the past few days to past week now to determine whether or not Duke did in fact notify the state that it would be doing this, you know, going back 6 months ago. Diener tells me that we could have an update from them as early as today, Wednesday, hopefully by at the latest the end of the week as to what they find in their investigation as it relates to this Catawba situation. But, you know, another footnote in this whole thing, it's a very layered story, but it is important in terms of getting a little bit more information about what is happening with this wastewater, this discharge that's going into waterways around the state.
And maybe the idea here is that the magnifying glass is closer on Duke Energy and what they're doing. And so we will, who knows, keep hearing about things that are raising the attention of the public that might have gone unnoticed for years before.
That's an interesting question, because there are a lot of environmentalists would say that this isn't new per se, and that they've been calling on the removal of coal ash from these unlined pits for a long time. But this certainly is something that has garnered a lot of attention over the last 6.5 weeks. The governor asked for a detailed plan from Lynn Good, the CEO of Duke, for these coal ash ponds. She responded last Thursday with a 4-page letter. The secretary of Diener, John Scavarla, called it inadequate and wants more. But within that letter, there is a consideration, a step toward perhaps removing coal ash from the ponds at 3 of these 14 locations. And that's really the first time on record that Duke has even made this step. And environmentalists would call it, a figurative step and, again, more talk than action. But this is the first time we've seen, even if it is implicit, that Duke is perhaps implicitly acknowledging that the way this stuff is stored is not all that safe, and that the push from environmentalists has been to either remove it and put it in lined landfills, which is what's happening in South Carolina with its two utilities, one public, one private, and also the option of removing coal ash and using it in cement, so kind of recycling it to an extent.
So we're talking about investigations in other parts of the state, but let's get back to the Dan River and the thing that brought this whole investigation about. What is the current status of the cleanup there?
So when the stormwater pipe broke under one of the two coal ash ponds in Eden on February 2nd, upwards of 39,000 tons of this stuff that contains arsenic and selenium and other heavy metals and toxic material went into the Dan River. U.S. Fish and Wildlife has detected it as far as 70 miles downstream, and a lot of it is, you know, just being dispersed by the river. It is being diluted by the flow of the river, and it will never come out. It goes to the bottom. It is sediment. It is covered up by other sediment that is in the river. And a lot of it will stay. The long-term health effects, the long-term effects of the aquatic life, the plants in the river are not known, will not be known for years. Some of the coal ash that did go in at the end of the pipe, end of the pipe that was working and supposed to go into the Dan River, there was some removal of coal ash from that spot. But it remains to be seen what the environmental effects are, what the economic effects are, and how this plays out in the region over the next few months and many years.
And any estimates yet on the cost of the cleanup?
The estimate from Dennis Lemley, who works for both the federal government and has a faculty position at Wake Forest University. He's more or less an expert on coal ash cleanup. He's been to, if I'm remembering it correctly, 24 sites where there have been coal ash spills of varying degrees. His estimate, if you want to think of it this way, amounts to about $1 million for each mile that coal ash has been detected or found downstream. So that figure 70 miles downstream past Danville, Virginia. He estimates, his initial estimate is that it's going to be at least $70 million for cleanup. And then in terms of the costs, we haven't even talked about that yet, but the cleanup, the potential removal or recycling of coal ash, these are not small figures. These are monumental figures. Who pays for it? Is it the company? Is it the ratepayers, the taxpayers, a combination? How does that all move forward? And that's a major question that has not yet been answered.
Well, we know that you'll continue to cover the issue. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Jeff Tiberi is WUNC's Greensboro Bureau Chief. This is The State of Things. Just ahead, a documentary examining honor violence against women across the globe. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.